Our Easter scripture is taken from the 16th chapter of Mark, verses 1 through 8. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, bought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. They had been saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb?" When they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled back. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Look, there is the place they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid.
Back in January, I believe it was, around the 16th or 17th of January, when I first met with Pastor Sarah, and we talked about the possibility of my coming to be with you for a time during Lent and for a little while after Easter. She said, "Well, I see that you've written this book on leadership, and I think that's something that could help us out at Fairview, so maybe we could just do a series on that." And so it's like, that could be interesting. And so we kept talking about it, and then the more we reflected, it's like, if you tell people that for 6 or 7 weeks we're just going to just kind of pound them over the head about leadership, chances of them coming are slim to none. So we probably should not do that, all right? And so we had agreement on that. But what we have been looking at is this whole business about being. How are we showing up in the world as those who are called by God, created by God, created in the image and likeness of God? How do we show up in the world? And so we've been on a journey that hopefully has led us to this joyous day, that has caused us to ask some deep questions about our lives and about our actions in the world. And the reason we landed on this business of being is because much of our existence and activities are really focused on doing. Now, we are told that we are human beings, but we really, when it gets down to it, we're human doings, all right? Most of who we are is focused on what we do, not who we be. Amen? Yeah. Amen. All right? That woke some of you up, okay? And so we've paused each week, and hopefully we've caused you to question not just what you're doing, but how you're showing up in the world. And hopefully we've done that in ways that have caused you to realize the depth of compassion, one that God has for each and every one of us, but also the depth of compassion that we have to find for one another. Hopefully, we have discovered the depth of love that God has for each of us, and we've discovered the depth of love that we must have one for another. And know that we come to these realizations and these understandings under immense pressure. I mean, the world puts a lot of pressure on us to be a whole lot other than what God calls us to be every single day. That's a good place for an amen. Thank you. All right? I'll let you know when I need one of those. All right, I'll let you know. But compassion and love are important. because they undergird why we serve, who we serve, and how we show up in the world. And so we come to today, this Easter Sunday, this Resurrection Day, a day when we celebrate our risen Lord, the Christ. Now we can debate the merits of resurrection. We can go round and around as we raise the theological arguments for substitutionary theories of atonement. We can examine the historical and scientific records of Jesus' day and try to determine if a bodily resurrection were even possible, or if it were more probable that his followers found a way to steal his body to trick the authorities. We could spend our time doing all of that, or we could go to any theological library and read any number of scholarly articles, journals, dissertations, or books categorized on the subject. We could do all that. People have done all that. Don't recommend it, but you can do that. But even today, as a congregation here today, some of you have your doubts about whether this really happened or whether it happened the way it is reported. I get it, and I accept that reality. But I also submit to you that regardless of where you land on bodily resurrection or spiritual resurrection, we have this remarkable example and exhortation of Jesus that is a compelling story of how we are to be in this world, regardless of what happened to his body. What happened in his life is compelling. Even without the trappings of organized religion, and there are many trappings of organized religion, there are lessons from his life that can guide us and teach us how to be more loving, more kind, more righteous, not self-righteous, but righteous, patient, humble, you name it. And so we started this journey talking about temptation. Anybody out there ever been tempted? Yeah, today probably, right? I mean, just even this morning, you probably dealt with some temptation. So we started, you know, this journey talking about what it is to be tempted and how we live through temptation. And we understand that being tempted does not make us a bad person. It makes us human. Amen? Yeah, see, you're getting it. You're getting it. And from there, we move from being tempted to being humbled. And understanding that being humbled by life circumstances or even by the thoughts that we have about our world or about ourselves keeps us in touch with our humanity and helps us to be in touch with one another's humanity. So there is being tempted, being humbled. I'm catching up for those who may have missed a week or something in there. And then we talked about being righteous and how being righteous was the real goal, not being right. Even though many of us spend a lot of our waking hours trying to be right, trying to prove to ourselves and to others that we are right. But when God calls for is righteousness. And that helps us with the next one that we talked about, and that was on being patient. And being patient was important because it instills an unrelenting hope in what can be. And being patient, we're able to hear the great Spirit speak to us. We're able to settle our own spirits so that we gain some clarity about who we are and how we are to be and what we may do. And that helps us focus on being present. And being present is about loving God with our whole being. It's also about loving our neighbor as we love ourselves. Remember that? Yeah. And last week we talked about being hopeful. Palm Sunday, being hopeful as we read the story of Jesus riding into Jerusalem, and there was all this praise, all this fanfare about his arrival and what that would mean for those who had been outcast, those who were on the margins. They could see, as Jesus was riding into Jerusalem, they could see themselves being pulled into the center just by him riding into the city. Gave them hope that the lives that they had been told they were destined to have would be no more. That things could indeed be better than they ever thought they could be. And on Thursday, we gathered here for our Maundy Thursday observance. And we moved from being hopeful to being seated. And we talked about what it means to be seated at the table with Christ. The obligation and the responsibility that comes with taking that seat. Now, having a place at the table is not just for those who are seated, but it's really about those who have yet to be invited to the table. Or for those who don't even know that the table exists. How do we use who we are, our seats of privilege, our voices of authority, to include those who have been excluded for any number of reasons? And then we come to today, this day when we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. And today I want us to think about, ponder, consider this idea of being fearless. Being fearless. Because I believe being fearless is the essence of what's being taught throughout Jesus' ministry. Teaching the disciples, teaching the onlookers, teaching the outcasts, even teaching those who presumed they were at the center of all life, what it means to be fearless. For there are many things that will be said about each of us. Each of us have our own baggage. Am I the only one? Okay. I mean, I can give you some numbers, you can call some people, they can tell you about my baggage. But each of us shows up in every arena of our lives with some baggage. Now, we try to hide it, most of it, right? I mean, we don't want everybody to know that we have it, and then if they know we have it, we certainly don't want them looking inside of it, knowing the true depth of what we carry and what we contend with on a daily basis. Am I talking to myself? Okay. We have mountains of stuff. We have labels we wear. Some of our own making and others we have taken on over time. Labels that others placed upon us, and maybe initially we tried to ward them off, but we heard it enough that it eventually stuck. We have things that we carry that weigh us down. I asked for some help earlier, so I'm calling for my help. Don't scare him. Give him an applause. There we go. I mean, there are things that we carry, things that weigh us down, especially when we do not conform to society's norms or expectations. I mean, anybody divorced? Anybody want to be? I mean, don't answer that. Anyone? No, hold that. Anyone's parents divorced when you were a child? Yeah. That wasn't the expectation. That wasn't the norm, right? Any parents out there raising children on your own? Okay, yeah. Yeah, my mom did it. Yeah. Don't know how. God bless her. Any non-gender conforming folks? Gay, lesbian, transgender, bisexual? Yeah, I see ya. My people. Amen. Love it. Love it. Immigrant? Any immigrants from some country other than Norway? Unemployed, underemployed? Renter, or someone who's experienced foreclosure of a home, bankruptcy? Did not graduate from high school, or literacy scores weren't maybe what they said they should be? Any pre-existing health conditions? And we walk around with all this stuff. And as we walk around with all this stuff, we're told to be patient, to be hopeful, to be righteous, to be humble. And oh yeah, while you have all this, you're going to be tempted too. And while you have all this, you're supposed to love yourself. And you're supposed to love your neighbor as you love yourself. Oh yeah, and while you're doing all that, you're supposed to serve one another. So we can go on and on about the stone that covered the tomb where Jesus was laid to rest, and they tell me it was a borrowed tomb. It wasn't even his own, but it was a borrowed tomb. And I'm concerned about how we go through our lives listening. Oh, you're trying to give it away. Listening to these words from the Bible. We sing these glorious songs while carrying. I'm not going to do it to you. Thank you. While carrying so much baggage. Most of it not of our own making, but all of it by our own choosing to carry it as baggage. Because there comes a certain point where we get to decide. Do I or will I see myself in the image of God? Or will I see myself in the image of all that negativity that the world attaches to just what happens to be my life circumstance? That's a real question. It's a real question. I came across this story on this notion of being fearless. Came across this story several years ago, and my therapist, yes, I have one of those, praise the Lord. Imagine how brutal this would be if I didn't, right? But But in working with my therapist, he gave me this CD that had all these stories on it, and they were wonderful stories. And I'll try to find the CD if anybody wants a copy of it. I'll try to find it. But there was this one story that really stood out to me, and I actually put it in the book, and it was a story shared by Barry Hart. And he shares a story that's centered on the Tibetan monk tradition, where every 5 years the monastery opens the room of 1,000 demons as part of their training. The room of 1,000 demons. Now, I don't know about you, but if you just tell me there's one demon on the way, I'm ready to go in the other direction, right? But now, as a part of this training, as a part of this tradition, there's a room of 1,000 demons, and all of the candidates are brought to the exterior of the room, and it is explained to them that inside the room there are 1,000 demons, and each of them are aware of the candidate's worst fears. And he writes, for example, if you hate spiders, once in the room, you'll find yourself among 1,000 of the worst kind of spiders imaginable. And of course, many candidates opt out of the experience, and very few remain open to facing the challenge. Remember, we're talking about being fearless. But prior to entering the room, the candidates are told to remember two things. Number one, none of the demons are real. And number two, keep moving your feet. None of the demons are real. Keep moving your feet. Just imagine being reminded of those two simple instructions, those two little warnings, being made aware of those two simple things as life starts to weigh you down. This only has the value that I attach to it. And I can keep moving. I do not have to be stuck in the labels that you put on me. I do not have to live in the hole or the cave or the tomb that you have destined for me. Not because of my race, because of my sexuality, because of my economic status, none of that. Because what's real is that, like Jesus, I was created in the image and likeness of God. And what's real is that, like Jesus, there's great power in my life. What's real is, like Jesus, I can keep moving even with a stone blocking the way. I can keep moving. And as I move more and more into who God created and called me to be, and farther away from who you would benefit from me being. They're not real. Translation, they only have the value that you attach to them. And keep moving, even with all your baggage. Because eventually you'll get tired of dragging all that stuff around. And you'll realize you don't need it. You'll realize that you can't be all of who God has called you to be, carrying all that crap that somebody, oh, that's twice I've used crap from up here. All that crap that somebody else has placed on you to slow you down, to lock you in, to hinge you up, and to prevent you from being the powerful creation that God desires for you. So be fearless. Even with all your stuff, be fearless. Not real. Keep moving. Be fearless. this resurrection day, and every day. Amen.